Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Adhikrayat. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمد ونستعين ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. We begin by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His chosen messenger Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to the Adhikrayat show where we talk about how to reclaim your magic and how to make the right choices to create a life that you love. I'm your host, Tasneem, and today I'll be taking you up until the 3 o'clock news, inshallah. So I look forward to spending this company with you, in your beautiful company. And today we're speaking all about how to change, time to change. So it's a continuation from last week's show. And when we think about how to change, it's almost the end of the year. And all those New Year's resolutions that we made in the beginning of the year, how many of us have actually followed through on them? I'm sure for those of us that made those lists at the beginning of the year, there's more chances of you fulfilling some of those dreams and wishes of yours. But for those of us that just thought, you know, maybe I should do this year, or I'd like to achieve that or this thing, then more likely than not, most of those wishes or those dreams were probably not accomplished. So as life slowly takes us closer and closer to our end and thereby to the start of a new beginning, which will be very soon, inshallah, you know, this is never the end. This is always the question on everybody's mind. When will preparations for the promised afterlife begin? So as I was speaking last week, based on the verses from the glorious Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses this very question. And I was speaking about the verses that were mentioned in a renowned Islamic scholar and spiritual mentor's book called Sheikhul Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Salim Dorat. And he explains how this question from the Creator can be best answered and given practical outcome. So as we continue with last week's topic today, inshallah, let's ponder upon the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And Allah says in the verse, "We will upset their hearts and their eyes, even as they did not believe therein in the first instance, and we will leave them wandering blindly in their rebellion." And this verse comes in Surah 6, Ayat 110. So if we really look at it, who are the people referred to in this verse? It is to those whom divine knowledge knows are so engrossed in sin that even if the doors of opportunity are open for them, they will not enter. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes the doors of guidance upon them. We need to try as hard as possible to refrain from sin. When Shaitan and the nafs place the idea in our hearts that a sinful believer will one day or the other day enter Jannah, they are playing a clever trick on us. In response, we should ask ourselves that with our sinful lives, what guarantee do we have that we will even leave this world with iman? That's the first question we need to ask ourselves. Secondly, even if we do leave this world with iman, can we honestly say we are courageous enough to face standing even a few moments in Jahannam, na'udhu billah, even before being granted entry into Jannah? We cannot even bear the warmth and the closeness of the masjid when it's full during Taraweeh. You think about the queues and just look at the weather outside today, the heat that we're feeling right now, the South African December summer approaching us, and the heat that we feel outside. Will we be able to even withstand the heat and the flames of Jahannam if we can't even withstand the heat of this world? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Allahumma ajirni minan nar. So how can we be so foolish enough to assume that we can tolerate the raging fires of Jahannam even for 1 second? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, if one spark from the fire of hell was let loose in the east, its heat would be felt in the west. And this comes in Tabarani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states regarding those who will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. Allah says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, whenever their skins are burnt out, we shall change them for other skins so that they may taste the punishment. And this comes in chapter 4, ayat number 56. And when due to the extreme heat, they will feel thirsty and beg for something to drink. So how thirsty we feel in this heat, it's actually draining. Do we even think, are we foolish even enough to even consider the smoke of Jahannam? Allah says in the Quran in chapter 14 verse 17, Jahannam is before him and he will be made to drink fluids like pus, which he will arduously sip and he will not be able to swallow. Death will come upon him from every side, yet he will not die, and still a heavy chastisement will be ahead of him. And this comes in chapter 14, verse 17. So do not even let for one second, don't even let that thought even cross your mind, let alone be uttered, that you are prepared to spend even a moment, a split second in Jahannam before being given entry into Jahannam. We as insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for none other than Jannatul Firdaus. And as a mu'min, as a believer, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to have high vision and high expectations and to pray only for the best of the akhirah, and that is Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. So we need to abandon unlawful pleasures and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his grace and ask him to safeguard us from even having to go near the smoke or the flames of Jahannam, inshallah. So how do we, you know, become this person? We need to revive our hearts. We need to understand what is tazkiyah, what is tazfiyah, and become aware of the warming, you know, the warmth in our heart. We need to get rid of the coldness and the hardness in our heart. And the best way to do that is only by the remembrance of Allah. Allah says in the Quran something to the effect that true contentment can only be found in the remembrance of me, subhanAllah. So we need to become aware of this warning contained in this verse when Allah speaks about how sinful people may become, you know, despondent. They may think that they are so involved in sins, and maybe a veil has already fallen over their hearts and now they have no chance of salvation. This is Shaitan's biggest trick, to make you lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically addresses this problem in the Quran, and he goes on to say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and this verse is in chapter 57, verse 17. Allah says, know well that Allah revives the land after its death. We have made clear the signs for you that you may understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that he is the one who can revive the earth after it has become completely parched, just by causing a little rain to fall onto it. So the being who has the power also has the power to send down his mercy on the parched fields of the heart of one who turns to him in repentance and make it lush and healthy again, subhanAllah. So our hearts have become hard and lifeless due to the continuous onslaught of sins. As we commit sin after sin, our hearts become clouded and choked by the stains of impurity and filth. That is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result, our hearts become barren, spiritually dead, and unresponsive. The same heart cannot contain sin and virtue at the same time. So, you know, they are not affected. These are the hearts that are not affected by religious talks or by admonishment, or even if we're sitting at a funeral and, you know, the janazah is present and right in front of us, that heart feels nothing. It's almost as if we're delusional, thinking that we're going to live forever and we'll never be shrouded in that white cloth. Subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the realization and the araftuka, the recognition of ourselves, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the recognition of life on earth and life in the akhirah, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders such people whose hearts have become dead to do a lot of istighfar. We need to constantly repent and ask Allah for forgiveness, to turn to him and to shed tears of regret. If we had to collect all the water of all the oceans in the sea, that would not ever be able to put out the fire, the raging fires of Jahannam. But one tear that is shed out of fear, out of regret, out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one tear can extinguish your fire of Jahannam, inshallah. And this is the hope that we have in Allah's mercy and Allah's... Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah forgives anything and everything except shirk. But what we need to understand is this pride that we feel. And this is what also makes our heart hard. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates the advice of Nuh alayhi salam to his people, to the people that went astray. And Nuh alayhi salam says, and Allah says in the Quran, after Nuh alayhi salam said this, and pray to your Lord for forgiveness. Indeed, He is very forgiving, and He will cause the heavens to rain upon you in abundance, and help you with riches and sons, and will cause gardens to grow for you, and cause rivers to flow for you. And this comes in chapter 71, ayah 10. So if we cannot cry, then at least an expression of crying should be adopted. We learn from the Sharia that just sitting on your musalla and feeling that despondency, feeling that regret, that remorse, and even if we can't shed tears, then to make the sounds of crying, then inshallah, that's with sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. We should go into sujood and, you know, beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy. In fact, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, rahmatullah alayhi, states that the blessings of istighfar are such that when a servant turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repents sincerely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down two types of rain, one in the form of water from the skies and the other in the form of mercy from His arsh, subhanallah. Water rains onto the earth and gives the dead earth life and makes it fertile, and we know that while mercy rains onto the hearts of the believers, it revives them from the death brought on by evil deeds, giving them the life and vigor that come from good deeds. So we need to continuously try and have hope. So, you know, before I continue the lines, I'll open the number to call is 011-854-1548. So do not even look here and there at the lives of others, because this is what we're so good at doing. But look at your own life. Introspect, ponder, think about yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror and think about, who am I? And after assessing your life, your identity, your good, you know, your strengths, your negative points, then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shedding tears in seclusion, and make every attempt to please Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not obstinate like us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, when a servant draws to me by a handspan, and I love this hadith, it's a hadith al-Qudsi, it comes in Bukhari. Allah says, when a servant draws to me by a handspan, I draw near to him by a cubit. And when he draws near to me by a cubit, I draw near to him by the distance between two outstretched arms. And if he comes to me walking, I go to him running. Subhanallah. In another beautiful hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quotes Allah again, meaning it's a hadith al-Qudsi, and Allah says, O son of Adam, as long as you continue to call to me and have hope in me, I will forgive your sins, and I will not care as to which sin or how many sins you committed. O son of Adam, if your sins were so great that they reached the sky, and then you asked me for forgiveness, I would forgive you. O son of Adam, if you came with sins that filled the earth, then met me in the condition that you did not ascribe partners to me, in other words, did not make shirk, I would grant you forgiveness that filled the earth. And this comes in Tirmidhi, subhanAllah. Excuse me. This does not mean that though at the same time as hoping in the mercy of Allah and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we become complacent, that we become, you know, so lackadaisy and we continue living a life of sin. You know, being of this false notion that Allah is only all forgiving, which He is, but not having this false hope, thinking that we can just commit sin and live this life of heedlessness and then we will enter Jannah. Jannah is not cheap. How can we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving and merciful and yet continue to do what we know will incur His displeasure and lead us towards the fire of Jahannam? So we need to be real, we need to be realistic, and we need to be honest with ourselves. We must also remember that a mu'min does not make a program to commit sin. Rather, he falls into sin. For example, someone may resolve not to commit a particular sin ever again. You know, we make this firm intention that, Ya Allah, we'll never ever do that again, or we can never promise because insan is made to us, so we, you know, it's best to say, Ya Allah, I intend never to do that again. But later a situation arises where due to the pressures of shaitan or pressures of nafs or peer pressure, maybe, you know, she ends up committing it again. And although a sin was committed, it was not premeditated or planned. We didn't always plan to commit that sin. Sometimes we just get overpowered by our nafs or get overpowered by shaitan. But this is what we need to be so conscious of, and we need to control our nafs before our nafs start controlling us. As long as we continue to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to please Him with our actions, His help will be with us. If after slipping and falling and slipping and falling again into sin, we continue to knock at His door with real hope, with real conviction, with real sincerity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not care about our sins. He will continue to forgive us. Allah hates sin, but He loves the sinner who repents. Subhanallah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created a nation and that nation had never erred, had never faltered, had never stepped, you know, in the wrong direction, Allah would have left that nation to continue as they doing, because they were doing everything that was good. But Allah would have created another nation like us, just to err, to make a mistake, to sometimes sin. Not because Allah loves the mistakes or loves the sins. Allah loves when we turn back to Him in humility, in sincerity, and we beg of Him to forgive us. And it takes a very strong person to be able to do this, because it shows total humility. It shows, you know, zero pride. In that moment, it's zero pride. And this is what Allah loves. And from this hadith, we can understand that there is still hope for us. If we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, with ikhlas, and we say, O Allah, I have filled the space between the heavens and earth with sin. O Allah, forgive my sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not turn us away. He will definitely respond with mercy and forgiveness, enough to fill the space between the heavens and earth. Subhanallah, a famous poet once said, we are willing to forgive, but no one is asking. Whom shall we guide on the straight path? There is no one walking towards the destination. So sometimes we don't make that action. It's all about talk. We read Surah Fatiha every day, so many times a day, in every rak'ah of Salah that we read. That we are performing, we are reciting Surah Fatiha. In Surah Fatiha, we are asking Allah for forgiveness. We are asking Allah to guide us to the Siratul Mustaqim. We are asking Allah to make us of those whom He favors and not amongst those whom he brings His wrath. You know, not like those who anger Him. And we are constantly asking Allah to make us follow that road and to keep us steadfast, inshallah. But are these just words? Is it just mere lip service? Or is it really resonating within our hearts and we're really asking Allah sincerely to guide us to the straight path? Do we even wish to be on that straight path? Because it requires effort from us to stay away from sin, to stop doing all the things that we used to doing, and to change. And like I said, it's the end of the year again, and it's time to now start thinking for next year. You know, to start, not that we believe in New Year's resolutions, because as a believer, every single day is a new day to change. Every breath that you take, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a new opportunity to get closer to Him before that final moment comes when there will be no time to change. So every breath that you take, every moment that you are here on this planet Earth, it's a time to respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to turn towards Allah in totality, in total submission to the will of Allah. And inshallah, we will be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome back to Al-Dhikrayat, coming to you live from our studios in Indonesia on Medium Wave 1548, Radio Islam International. Today's show is all about taking time to change. And as life slowly takes us closer to our end, it's becoming closer to the end of the year, and thereby to the start of a new beginning, which is never to end. The question on every individual's mind has to be, when will preparations for the promise afterlife begin? So this is what we've been speaking about, and Allah goes on to say that when will you respond to my call? Allah is like waiting for us to respond to His call. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in a beautiful hadith that comes in Muslim, is there anyone asking? Allah is saying, is there anyone asking so that I may grant him what he desires? Is there anyone supplicating to me so that I may accept his supplication? Is there anyone seeking forgiveness so that I may forgive him? So basically, in short, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking if there's anyone who wishes to change the direction of her life, so that Allah may turn his attention towards her and remove him from the path of shaitan and put him on his path, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's siratul mustaqim. So this call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being made at this very moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite being independent and free of all need, despite being the Lord of all the worlds, wants us to rectify our relationship with Him. Allah doesn't need us. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by rights, we should be running towards Him. But He Himself is turning towards us. In fact, Allah says in another hadith al-Qudsi that if we take steps towards Him, then He comes running on towards us. If we walk on towards Him, He runs on to us. But He Himself is turning towards us and is asking us to repent from our sinful ways. How merciful and compassionate is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we read this every single day in Surah Fatiha. But do we actually take cognizance of the meaning of the words of Surah Fatiha? So regardless of the nature and quality of our sins and the quantity of our sins we may be committing, this call is for each and every one of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always ready to forgive. Allah doesn't judge us by our skin color. He doesn't judge us by the way we look. But He looks at our hearts. And He looks for that softness in our hearts. And He looks for taqwa in our hearts. And this is what sets us apart. So always, Allah is always ready to accept our efforts to rectify our relationship with Him, always ready to fulfill all our needs. All that is required is that we prostrate before Him in repentance and beg Him to forgive us. Allah loves this position of sujood. In fact, in the next salah, we're going to be in South African time. The next salah coming up would be our Asr salah. So take that time out in our sujood. And pay special attention to the virtue of that sujood. In that moment while you are in sujood, 70,000 veils are being lifted between you and your Creator. Subhanallah. Musa alayhi salam, one veil was lifted for him. And a mountain couldn't withstand the vision and the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Musa alayhi salam, the Nabi of Allah, collapsed at that moment. And he was blinded for a few days. And when he went back to his wife saw the nur of Allah in Musa alayhi salam's face and she was blinded. Subhanallah. And that was one veil. When we are in sujood, 70,000 veils are lifted between you and your Rabb. Subhanallah. So take cognizance of that, because shaitan makes us forget. And if we really have to take cognizance of the fact and, internalize and think about that moment while we in sujood, I promise you, if we really understood the meaning of sujood, and I speak to myself first, we will never lift our heads from sujood. So all this is required is for us to, all that is required from us is to prostrate, to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to bow down to Him. And in that moment of humility, of total repentance, of total submission, submitting to Him in totality, we need to take hold of this opportunity and not let it go to waste. Because in that moment, we are in direct communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, we need to be in a state of gratitude. Because it's actually in gratitude that we're not responding to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are only depriving ourselves of another chance in the future, of another chance to change. And may it not be come to a point in time, it happens that the doors of mercy and guidance are closed to us forever. The punishment of Allah, one of the punishments of Allah is when your heart becomes so hard that you stop even turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while Allah is there waiting for us, begging of us. So really speaking, it's a blessing in itself that we are reading this beautiful book called the Quran. All the verses in the Quran, the Surah Fatiha that we recite every day in our Salah. This is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is allowing us to read this beautiful book because He wants us to turn to Him so He can forgive us. So we need to turn our attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make the tawbah. To not assume that because at this moment you feel unable to leave a particular sin or you have a particular addiction that you will never leave it. You don't know what could happen in the next 3 months, 6 months or 3 years. You just need to make that firm intention, and that is the seed that you need to plant with sincerity. To make a firm intention that from today, and don't wait for January, don't wait for New Year's resolutions, because we don't know if we're even going to live until tomorrow. So today, in this moment, you know, make that firm conviction that, Ya Allah, I will no longer commit that particular sin. And try one thing at a time, to let go of one thing at a time. Then try your best to live up to your resolution. And do not despair. Remember, your Lord is the one who gives life to the barren earth. If He can give life to the dead earth, He can give life to our dead hearts as well, inshallah. He will give them everlasting life and fill them with His love and His awareness, with His araftuka, with His recognition. And He will transform our hearts from being useless and feeble into being highly precious and valuable. There's a beautiful poem that comes to mind, and it says that, the poet says, a flower that has no fragrance is not a flower. A heart that does not contain you is not a heart. Subhanallah. The example of one who remembers his Lord and the one who does not is like a living person, and one that does not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a dead one. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that, something to that effect, and that hadith comes in Bukhari. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to give life to our dead hearts. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not wish to revive our hearts, then He would not have given us the opportunity to hear these words, to read the Quran, to read Surah Fatiha. Every day we're asking for the change, but yet do we make effort? The fact that you are even listening to this, you know, to the show or reading your salah, anything that reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is Allah's invitation to you, and Allah wishes to actually envelop you in His mercy. This is what Allah wishes for all of us. So we need to pay particular attention and respond positively to the call in the ayats of the Quran. You know, when we're reading our salah, when we're making our dhikr, we need to save ourselves totally from sin and disobedience of Allah. In order to do this, we need to adopt the company of the pious. And there's a few things that we've been taught in hadith. You know, to save ourselves from bad company, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that you are in the religion of your friends, so be careful who you befriend. We also need to remain steadfast with our daily practices. The more steadfast we will be with good deeds, the stronger and firmer our hearts will become. So simple things that we constantly need to remind ourselves and remind others. And this is what my whole show is all about. It's adhikrayat. It's simple reminders for the believers. Because I think shaitan tricks us and he makes us forget these simple things. And really speaking, we become steadfast when we remember these little things and build onto them. Almost like a scaffolding effect, inshallah. And the more sincere we become, the more our hearts soften. And when we do things purely for the pleasure of Allah, then just by having that niyyah and that intention, then Allah makes it become steadfast, inshallah. And the stronger our hearts become, the easier it will become for us to refrain from sin. Because like I said, that's one container that cannot contain sin and good deeds. We also need to establish a strong connection with our spiritual mentors, the ulama, people that we look up to, people that are the awliya, people that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, try and spend time in their company and continue to, take cognizance of our spiritual condition, especially with shaitan and our nafs that's often overpowering us. We need to be so conscious of this. We need to live a conscious life. And we always getting involved in sin, so we need to prevent us. Sometimes shaitan will prevent us from seeking guidance from our, you know, ulama or somebody that knows. So, you know, ilm is very important, and we need to constantly be learning and educating ourselves with regards to the way Allah needs to be worshipped. What is halal, what is haram, what is permissible, what is makruh. These are not just small things that need to be ignored, but it's these little things that build us up and make our iman stronger. And by depriving us of the means of guidance and help, shaitan and the nafs gradually take us very far from deen. We reach a stage where we lose awareness that we are getting older. We become so engrossed in this hubbi dunya, in this love for this dunya, that we start fearing or we resent death. And we don't realize that every single day we are getting closer and closer to our graves. And the more we make death a conscious, you know, become conscious of death, we need to make muraqabatul maut, we need to be conscious of death, we need to meditate over death. We need to ask Allah to take us in the best way to make our final moments our best moments, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to think over what we've read in the Quran, what these ayats mean to us. Because remember, in that one moment, it made Umar radiallahu anhu turn from somebody that was about to commit such a grave sin by, you know, his intention was he was on his way to kill the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that moment, he heard the verses of the Quran, and those verses of the heart touched his heart in such a deep way that immediately it softened him, and he read the Shahada, even before he got to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah, may the Quran have the same effect on us. May Allah grant us the ability to turn to Him today without any further delay, and to declare with courage, firmness, sincerity and steadfastness that the time indeed has come for us to change our lives, inshallah. And we will be back after the break with more tips on how to step towards change. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm your hostess Neem, and you are back on Adhikrayat on Medium Wave 1548 on Radio Islam International. So just before the break, we were speaking about how do we take these steps towards change. So let us look at a few tools and skills in order for us to become better people, inshallah. So number one, we need to identify the problem areas in your character. So for example, what am I like? How am I dealing with people? How should I be dealing with people? Does good or bad emanate from me? Remember, it's never too late to change. Bring yourself to account before you are brought to account. So I think it's very important for us to look within ourselves, to introspect, to think about our strengths, our weaknesses, to know exactly who am I? Who is this I? So that's something to think about. Number two, we can, you know, like we spoke about before the break, pouring your heart out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in humility, in sincerity, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. He's all merciful. He is Ghafoor Rahim. So knowing that this is your relationship with Allah, and there's no one better to turn to than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is something that we think we know, but yet when it comes to complaining or when we're seeking help, who do we turn to first? Most of the time, it's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's keep it real, let's be real, and let's think about when we are in dire straits, when we are in times of need, who do we actually turn to? And in a sense, many of us commit mini shirk. You know, because Yaqub alayhi salam speaks in the Holy Quran in Surah Yusuf that I complain to no one but Allah, something to that effect. Subhanallah. So complaining is not a bad thing, as long as we're complaining to the right people. We can complain to people that remind us of Allah, because they will give us the best advice that will take us closer to Allah. We can complain to Allah, which is the best place to complain, in sujood, you know, while you making dua to complain. Duas are a time to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, pouring your heart out in humility and sincerity and complaining to Allah and asking Allah for whatever goodness He has to offer you, begging Him for that goodness, inshallah. We need to be so attached to the Quran, number three, because Quran is the shifa for the heart. We need to recite it, but not only to recite Quran, knowing that this is the kalam of Allah, we need to understand the beautiful words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and most importantly, we need to act according to it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked to describe the beautiful characteristics of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she described him as his character, His akhlaq is that of the Quran. His character is the Quran. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us so attached to the Quran that our characters and our entire way of life become like that of the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a walking, talking, living example of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like this. And it's simple because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I've left you two things, and that is my sunnah and the Quran. So this is what we need to follow. Number four, steps towards change, the dhikr of Allah. We know that this is the best polished for the rust of the heart. And only through the remembrance of Allah do hearts find true contentment, do hearts find true rest. Subhanallah. So dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah, recognizing Allah in everything that we see, the beauty all around us is only through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace and mercy. And, you know, just being in a constant remembrance of Allah in everything that we do, in the vocab that we use, the words that come out of our mouth, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, we can constantly use these words as part of our daily vocab, and in doing so, it makes us more cognizant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it makes us more aware of the power and the beauty and the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number five, we need to associate with the type of people that you want to be like. So in order for us to adopt good characteristics, we need to be around people that have good characteristics, because people rub off on us. Human beings are such that we learn by example, so we need to follow the best of example, who is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no better example than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But also people that remind us of Allah, people that remind us of the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at your inner circle and think about the people that you associate with. Do they raise your iman? Or when you leave their company, is your iman weakened? So that's also something to think about. But also, just having said that, when you leave people's company, do you heighten people's iman? Or do you convince them to do haram things and convince them to commit sin, and their iman is actually weakened when you leave their company? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those people that uplift other people in terms of spirituality, emotionally, physically, intellectually, and socially speaking, inshallah. Number six, we need to read from the seerah and the stories of the sahaba. The entire Quran is like a storybook. Most of it, subhanallah, is got to do with the story of Musa alayhi salam, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Human beings love storytelling. We know that from a very young age, that human beings need role models. We learn by example, we use them as a standard, or make them a point of reference in our life. So it's very important that from a very young age that we start understanding who are the successful people that came to this earth. Are those that have ended up high positions, that have reached high maqam and high status in Jannah, subhanallah. And we need to emulate their lives and learn from their examples. And if you read the stories in the Quran of the Anbiya, you will learn to understand that your problems seem so small in comparison to the problems that the Anbiya had to face. Because sometimes we like to get into victim mode, and we think that we are the only people going through such difficulty. And when we really look at the Quran and we read the stories and think about all the things that Nuh alayhi salam had to go through, he worshipped and he preached the oneness of Allah. He preached Tawheed for 950 years. And subhanallah, by the time he built his ark, Allah had commanded him to build the ark, there were just a handful of followers that joined him on the ark. And his son refused to get onto the ship with him. So imagine the pain that Nabi felt, subhanallah. We also learn, that we need to stay away from diseases of the heart, which are normal human emotions, but we need to understand that we need to control those emotions and not let those emotions control us. For example, greed, anger, jealousy, animosity, those kind of feelings are all diseases of the heart, which are normal human emotions. But like I said, we need to control them and manage them in a way that sustain us and promote us and not destroy us. Allah sometimes will test us under pressure, So, you know, it's easy to be good when things are good. Stress and calamity, when that hits, that's when our true colors emerge. So we need to try to be consistent. Sadness is a normal human emotion, but we must never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. We must never become in a, you know, find ourselves in a state of despair, because that is Shaitan's biggest trick. And most importantly, we need to practice good character. And once we start practicing good character, it will become a habit. We need to ask yourself, what should I do? Not what do I feel like doing? What should you do? Because sometimes when you ask yourself, what do I feel like doing? Your nafs are going to overpower you. So rather think with your akal, think with your intellect. Allah refers to us in the Quran as ulul albab, the people of intellect. So ask yourself, what should I do? What do I need to do? Not what do I feel like doing? And then inshallah, practice makes perfect. So continue to do this until it becomes a habit. Most importantly, we need to seek forgiveness, but also we need to be forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the final judge, but He is not judgmental. We need to be consistent and we need to stay steadfast. And the best way to do this is by making sincere intention that whatever we're doing, we are doing only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sometimes even our closest ones will disappoint us, because as human beings we are constantly looking for the need for love, praise and approval, which is a basic human need. But I think if we can just take that need and turn it back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know that we only need approval from your Allah, you only need praise from Allah, and you only need acknowledgement from your Allah. Because insan is such that, you know, and we are also like that sometimes. We go with the wind. We fickle in a sense. So this feeling for love, praise and belonging should only be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says in the Quran that near relatives referred to as al-aqrabin, they are mentioned over and over in the Quran as the people most deserving of our wealth and good treatment. And if we actually think about it, the al-aqrabin are the people that we love with. They know our true selves. Those are the people that know our true colors. And Allah says we should pay most particular attention to them, because our children, our spouses, those are the ones that know us in and out. And those are the ones that we're answerable to in terms of amanat. So before we can fulfill the rights to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also need to fulfill the rights of insan. And the al-aqrabin, as mentioned in the Quran, are those near relatives that are most deserving of our wealth and good treatment. But actually speaking, they get our worst end of the stick, because they get to see our true colors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all understanding. May Allah grant us the ability to think over what we have heard, over what we have read in the verses of the Quran. May He grant us the ability to turn to Him today without any further delay, and to declare with courage, firmness and sincerity that the time has indeed come for us to change our lives from this very moment, from starting today, inshallah. Allahumma rabbal alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me understanding that has brought us to the end of today's show. Inshallah, I will be back next week, Tuesday, between 2 and 3 on Azdikrayat with me, Tasneem. And a big jazakallah khair to my engineer, Brother Ziyad, for assisting me as always. And fi amanillah to all our listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.